97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. Mark Cotts here along with Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And we are, middle of November already. I can't believe it. Coming into the second weekend of deer season, Bo Matthews.
And how has that been going for you?
Well, let me tell you. I pulled out of my driveway at about 4 a.m. last Saturday morning, got halfway down my street, and something caught my eye. And I looked to my left, I rolled my window down, and it was about a 10-point buck standing on my neighbor's sidewalk. I rolled the window down, and he just looked at me. And I got my phone out, and I snapped a picture of him, because that's the last deer I saw that day.
Oh, no. You need to live in a different neighborhood. Or get into archery so it's silent. Maybe you could do that.
Maybe. But I'm telling you is I crawled out in the woods, sat there in 30-degree weather for 4 hours, and all I saw was a turkey. Now, one of my nephews got two deer that day, and my youngest nephew got his very first deer. So I was very proud of him.
Hold on. Didn't we just get a report that 90,000 deer were taken down and Mark Cox didn't get none of them?
Nothing. So I'm hanging my hat on this weekend. I'll be trying again. Yes.
Wow. Well, I wish you a ton of luck. I'll tell you, I had a good report from my granddaughter in Texas. She just turned 16 over the summer. She's been in the deer stand more than she's been allowed to drive. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
But she took down a deer. Of course, my phone's blowing up. I've got pictures. And so I figured, you know what I'm going to do? I told her, I said, Jasmine, I want to hear your story. And so I called her and she goes, I'm still in the deer stand. I said, well, call me when you get home. And so she did. So I wanted to find out. And I saw pictures of them dressing it out. And, you know, it's just hilarious. So what I did, of course, I took my phone. I went into my studio and I started to record the conversation. So if you don't mind, I don't want to squash your deer story.
There's no deer story to squash.
we're not going to call you Big Deer, I guess. You're sticking with Big Fish and Big Bird. How about that?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. so here is, and my granddaughter doesn't even know that I did this. She doesn't know where I recorded this. So she's going to be listening on the Odyssey app out of Crockett, Texas, when she hears this for the first time. So this is the call.
Hello.
How you doing, Jasmine?
I'm doing amazing.
Amazing?
How about you?
I'm doing amazing because I've got you on the phone. So what day did you take down that first deer?
Last night.
About what time?
Around 5:20, 5:30. It dropped in its tracks.
Yeah, tell me what was going on. Had you not seen anything for most of the time you were out there?
Yeah, it was like almost 2.5 hours before I saw anything. I usually look behind me because I always hear noises and stuff like that.
Right.
I happen to just see two deer and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So I turn around and I had another chair right next to me. There was one deer, the big one that I shot. It was like facing where I can see its side. I went my gun at it. I waited like 5 seconds to like process everything and like calm myself down, because I was like, oh my gosh.
Was your heart racing?
Yeah, kind of a little bit.
And you had to kind of catch your breath?
Yeah.
And about how far away do you think it was?
30, 40 feet in front of me.
Oh, really close.
It may be a little further. I pointed right at its shoulder and I pulled the trigger, and right as I moved my head, the second after I pulled it, it was already on the ground. The second deer had already almost ran away.
So it dropped where you shot it?
Yes.
That's a perfect shot.
It really was.
Wow. That's exciting.
I was like shaking. Like before it, I was calm mostly, but like after that, I was like, oh my gosh, that just happened.
That just happened. Now, had you been like doing target practicing so you knew where to shoot? You knew to shoot right behind its shoulder, right?
Yes, I have been practicing with my uncle.
Have you been practicing like on a fake deer, like a deer mannequin kind of thing?
No, it's just been a circle target.
Oh, wow. But you had heard, yeah, you had heard plenty of times you got to shoot right behind the shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty crazy.
Do you like the time that you're up in the deer stand?
Yeah, because it gives me like time to settle in, and I just look out and watch.
So after you dropped the deer, then what happened?
Okay, right after I shot it, my phone was blowing up. Colton was texting me, Cade was texting me, Dad was texting me. But Colton told me to like sit and wait, see if there was any more coming.
Right.
But Dad had already turned on the side-by-side and everything. I was trying to come over there.
So you helped him load it in the back of the side-by-side?
Yeah, and then I skinned it.
All last night you did this?
Yeah.
And you'd never done that before?
Nope.
So did you have good instruction?
Yeah, Colton and my dad's friend helped me do it.
And what is your firearm?
243.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
So what kind of rituals did your fellow hunters tell you you had to do? Did you have to bite into the heart or anything like that? Any crazy stuff?
Well, Jillian said I had to put blood on my face, and Colton ended up doing that. And then they kept telling me I had to bite into the liver, and I didn't.
You didn't do that, did you?
No.
No, don't listen to them crazy boys.
I was not fixing to do that. I felt something dripping, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was blood, but I didn't know till I got into the bathroom. It was right down my nose.
Oof, this is a first of many to come.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, that's cool you enjoy it. And taking in God's country, just sitting up there in your mind, doing some good thinking, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And just waiting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody else in the family gotten a deer?
I don't think so.
Well, I did FaceTime with your mom earlier, and you have good sisters. They were processing the deer from yesterday for you.
Oh, yeah. I helped a little bit before I went out hunting.
Yeah, your job's to go hunt. Their job's to get it all packaged up, right?
I guess.
Well, Jasmine, congratulations. This is a highlight of many to come, I'm sure.
Thank you.
All right. Love you, sweetie.
All right. Love you.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right, bye. All right, buddy. All right. You're going to have to come back with a great story next weekend for us to hear. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. But congratulations to Jasmine. What a great story. That's fantastic.
She can't, and she couldn't wait to get back to the deer stand. It's awesome.
I'll bet.
All right, let's talk about your raffle, buddy.
Yeah, you know what? If you're a hunter, if you like alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, this raffle is something you're going to want to take part in. It is for Responder Rescue. They have the backs of our first responders. All the money goes to them. All you have to do is text the word responder to 33100 33100, and you'll get a link, and you can do it right on your mobile device. Buy your tickets. I've got a CMMG Mark IV that's a 5.56 rifle that's been donated by the Range St. Louis West. You can win that and the Holosun optic that goes on it. I've got a basket of bourbon with probably $2,000 plus worth of bourbon in there, Bo. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, you do.
That's one of the winners. Lit Cigar Lounge, they donated a bunch of cigars, and they donated a night in their VIP lounge. You can win that. So there'll be three winners. We'll pick them next Wednesday, the 22nd, at about 2:30 in the afternoon, and I'll do it live on my Facebook page. So please.
Going to be fantastic. Get your tickets while you can.
Buy them early and often. Absolutely. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to Aiden Johnson from Gun Owners of America. Couple of big court decisions you need to know about if you love the Second Amendment. We'll be back.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. We thank our sponsors, our great sponsors like Razorback Armory. They're the sponsor of this segment. Razorback Armory is going to be loaded down for Black Friday shopping. And so if you have a person you're shopping for that supports the Second Amendment, maybe as a gun collector, gift certificates are a great idea. Check out RazorbackArmory.com. They're on Manchester, just east of 270. Tell them Bo sent you into Razorback Armory. All right, on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, Aiden Johnson is back from Gun Owners of America. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you? We got a lot to talk about.
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, buddy. You know, we've got a couple of things we want to talk to you about. There's a huge court case that was taken over. The ATF is backing down on license revocation for North Dakota gun stores who had filed the suit. Do you want to start there?
Yeah, well, we've been fighting on against the Biden administration's so-called zero tolerance policy, where they take one paperwork mistake that a gun store makes. They forget to dot an I or cross a T on a 4473 or other form, and they revoke their license, no questions asked. And it just destroys businesses. It's a weaponization of regulations against gun stores. And so Gun Owners of America filed a lawsuit. When the ATF tried to zero tolerance one of our plaintiffs in another lawsuit against the ATF. And as soon as we filed that lawsuit, the ATF said, hey, you know, maybe the tiny little mistake you made wasn't really worth revoking your license, because they don't want to go to court because they know that this policy is found nowhere in statute. They don't actually have the authority to give zero tolerance revocations like that.
Isn't that something, you know, I mean, you fill out a form 4473, and I don't know, if you're a drug addict and you lie on there about it, you might get away with it if you're Hunter Biden, almost. but if the store makes a simple mistake, a paperwork mistake, one mistake out of thousands that they must do on a weekly or monthly basis, they risk losing their license over it. I mean, that is an unbelievable amount of government interference in our lives.
You're absolutely right. And in the case of our gun store, the mistake that they made involved no actual bad guy getting their hands on a firearm. So it wasn't dangerous. No one was hurt. And instead, they just wanted to revoke our license. And in fact, the ATF agent who showed up to do the inspection and then later issued the revocation, he said that back at the office, they had a conversation over whether or not it would appear political if they did the investigation. They thought about waiting until our previous lawsuit was over, but they went ahead and did the investigation and zero tolerance them over something totally mundane and non-dangerous anyway.
Do we have an idea of what the grammatical screw up was on the part of the gun stores? Is it something that was, you know, huge, or do we have any idea?
Well, we leaked the criteria. Someone in the ATF gave us a copy of the ATF's actual zero tolerance manual, and the list of things includes making false information as one of the bullet points, but making false information includes writing an L instead of a T, right? You forgot to cross it, or you know, forgetting to write a number in a serial number on total accident because you're filling out your 100th gun that you sold, you know, today, and you left off one of the zeros. So these are the kinds of mistakes that can get your license revoked. They're very simple. They're just paperwork, and you weren't actually trying to, you know, write the wrong serial number, but they're classifying it as willful, and they're saying you willfully violated the law, willfully wrote misinformation in order to justify that zero tolerance policy.
Mm. Well, you know, it's not a surprise. They've been bold about it, in fact. And what we've seen with this administration, Aiden, we're talking to Aiden Johnson from Gun Owners of America, is they tend to want to reinterpret the rules to fit their agenda. We know that, and that, you know, this maybe this pistol brace story is a good example of that. A court has finally smacked them down on it, but for how long? I mean, it's temporary at this point, right?
Right. So you're right. Biden is just taking whatever laws he thinks can be weaponized, and he is weaponizing them. So, okay, we can revoke gun store licenses. Let's do it as many times as we can. I don't like AR-15s. Let's ban millions of them by revoking approval for something called a stabilizing brace and saying, if you put one on your gun, then we're going to put you in jail for 10 years in a federal prison. So he did the what we call the Biden pistol ban, and he banned those stabilizing braces. We filed a lawsuit. A bunch of other people filed lawsuits, and the courts only gave us and our members' injunctions. And we were really upset about that. But finally, a judge in Texas has issued a nationwide injunction. So even if you weren't a Gun Owners of America member, now you are protected from the Biden administration coming after you for having that pistol brace that you bought years ago that he then criminalized. It's not done. That case has to pend through the court. The ATF still gets to appeal that decision, and you're not safe forever, but at least while the case is pending, you're safe. Back under the Trump administration, when he did a ban on bump stocks, that's just getting to the Supreme Court. Now it's been years, and if you owned yours between now and when it got to the Supreme Court and when Trump banned them, you've actually been in a position to be put in federal prison for 10 years.
Wow.
Based on your possession of that item. So it's really important that the courts issue these kinds of injunctions just so we can sort these things out and people don't start going to jail for something that in the end will get overturned.
Well, and Aiden, my question is, right after that news broke about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals last month, finding that the rule violated the Administrative Procedures Act, all of a sudden, maybe because my algorithms, I'm searching for gun stuff and accessories and stuff like that, all of a sudden I started getting emails about, you know, hey, we're having a huge sale. So talk to those people that that maybe went in and bought one of those things. Are they safe?
Yeah, so for right now, you are safe, and the ATF cannot come after you. So, like you said, as soon as the court issued that nationwide injunction, a bunch of gun stores said, hey, we still have these pistol-braced AR-15s and pistol-braced whatever in inventory. We're trying to sell them. So, you know, they started doing sales, and people were purchasing them. You're fine as long as that injunction is in effect, but, I mean, literally, right now, there could be a tweet online where someone has shared a new court ruling that invalidates that. So at any moment, that could get revoked by an appeals court or by the Supreme Court, and you have to be paying attention to what's going on in the legal world if you're going to dabble in buying a pistol brace or having a pistol brace on your firearm right now. Although I will say, there's a nationwide injunction, there's an injunction for Gun Owners of America and our members, there's several other injunctions out there. So you should be good for the time being, but definitely do not stop paying attention to what's going on, and be careful when you go out in public with a firearm like that. If you're going to go shoot at the range, check and make sure that, you know, that injunction's still standing.
Right. But it is. Yeah. And it is going to go to the Supreme Court at some point, we believe. Right.
I hope that the Supreme Court will actually take up cases like this and give us a ruling so that everyone knows whether or not the ATF is supposed to be able to ban tens of millions of firearms with a rule change. My opinion, clearly the Second Amendment says that they're not able to do that. But the fact that in some states or for a while, some people who just weren't Gun Owners of America members could go to jail for owning a pistol brace. But if you paid us a membership due that, you know, your next door neighbor was allowed to own a pistol brace, that's outrageous. The fact that maybe when the Supreme Court rules before this next June, you'll be able to own a bump stock after that. But for all these years, you weren't able to own a bump stock. But then before Trump, you also were able to own a bump stock. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It puts good people in jeopardy. These are not criminals. These are law abiding citizens. They're just trying to follow the law, but the law is being applied inconsistently. And because of these court rulings and because of these massive changes by ATF, which we've got to prevent in the future.
Aiden Johnson's our guest from Gun Owners of America. Just to elaborate a little bit more on that, how would the ATF know who owns one of those? Could they subpoena the records of these companies that sell these items?
Well, that's a very scary question to ask, because I do believe that they could come up with a list of millions of people who own these things right now if they wanted to. We have seen other items that the ATF has said are banned, be it a forced reset trigger or a solvent trap, these things that have recently been banned, and the ATF has gone and has subpoenaed those records from those companies and then has knocked on people's doors. Now, they don't actually know if you threw it away or you destroyed it or if it's sitting in your closet, and so they haven't got warrants to go search these people's homes. But if you were to take it to the range, if you were to talk about it on Twitter, if you were to post a picture of it, you know, you could get in trouble. So you have to be following these laws,
yeah,
or complying with what the ATF says, or they want, like, Biden wants to throw you in a federal prison. So you have to be extremely careful if you own a pistol brace and you bought it with a credit card, or you know, you bought a firearm that was labeled as a pistol. There's a form 4473. There's a gun registration form that either the gun store has, or if your gun store went out of business, the ATF has it in a digital database, and they can just look up who owns a pistol AR-15, and with a good amount of certainty, know you put a pistol brace on that.
Wow! Right. Wow, that's it's frightening, but it's another good reminder why people need to join Gun Owners of America. I mean, whether this temporary restraining order has been put in effect nationwide or not, you guys are always fighting the good fight, and I hope people will support you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we appreciate it. We wouldn't be able to do the kind of work that we do in the courts or in Washington, D.C. and Congress without the support of our members. So if there are any members listening, I'm so grateful that you allow, you know, me to do the work that we're able to do. But definitely, you've got to be in the fight. If you're a gun owner, you own a pistol brace, and you didn't know any of this, or you're not a member of at least some local or federal group, like, you've got to be in the fight, because Biden is bringing the fight to you.
You know, go ahead, Bo.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was just going to say, for the record, sarcastically, my favorite post of Twitter on Twitter or Facebook is when somebody posts their firearm and go, "This is my new concealed carry." And it's like, oh, gosh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Not concealed anymore.
Yeah, right.
Not concealed from this moment forward. Speaking of the Biden administration and what they've attempted to do with the ATF, which they've attempted to do in the Department of Education, and, I mean, all across the board trying to do things by executive fiat, they also want to ban the sale of private guns. Now, my question for you, Aiden, is this something that they're going to attempt to do through pressure through the ATF, or are they going to actually have to get legislation through Congress in order to try to stop private gun sales, correct?
Well, they need to pass a new law in order to have any claim of authority in order to ban the private sale of firearms. But that is, of course, not stopping Biden. It's, of course, not stopping the ATF. And they have instituted a rule, or rather proposed a rule, that will go into effect sometime in the near future to ban the private sale of firearms. And this is, unfortunately, in a I told you so moment for Gun Owners of America to Congress, because last summer, everyone might remember that the Congress compromised on the Second Amendment. They passed the biggest gun control bill in decades. It was called the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. And they changed the definition of what it means to be a gun dealer. We told Congress, do not change that definition. It's perfectly fine as is. And they're going to weaponize it for backdoor universal background checks. And everyone said, you're crazy. You're fear-mongering. What are you talking about? Well, here we are. It's 2023. And Biden is, in his press conference, said, I'm moving the United States as close to universal background checks without the passage of a new law. And that's this proposed rule. And in the rulemaking, ATF was unable to rule out the possibility that you might need a gun dealer license to transfer a single firearm to one of your family members.
Wow.
They weren't able to promise that didn't require a federal license for you to get fingerprinted, for you to keep registration records of all your firearms, and for you to run a background check before selling or giving a firearm to a family member. Mm. That's outrageous. That is not what the new law said, but that is absolutely how it's been weaponized. And so right now you have until the early December to comment, to participate in that proposed rulemaking and give your public comment to ATF and say no, and I'm opposed to that rule.
Yep. Aiden Johnson, listen, we appreciate your time. I'll direct people to gunowners.org to find out all of this important information. It just makes your vote in November of 2024 that much more important. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was great, guys.
Absolutely.
We'll talk soon.
Yeah, good.
Yep, good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, by the way, when I say the words PBR to you, what does that mean, Bo Matthews? Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Well, I grew up in Minnesota, so we're talking Pabst Blue Ribbon, but I'm a country boy, so I know what it is.
Yes, you do. Pro bull riding. It's coming to the greater St. Louis area. We're going to talk to one of the up-and-coming stars, one of Missouri's own, when we come back on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. And Carl Middleman had to fill me in on what that song was.
Bulls on Parade.
By
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. Not caught up on my music from 20 years ago. So sorry about that. Hey, glad you're with us, though. Speaking of bulls, man alive, I've been to several rodeos. I've been to the professional bull riding down at Enterprise before, and that is a sport that I just could not imagine doing myself. How about you, Bo Matthews?
I'm too big. Well, I'm too big for a bull ride, and I know that. I'm too top heavy.
The bull might appreciate it if you didn't climb on its back, Bo.
I'm just saying.
But we do have Missouri's own Colton Hevelau on the phone right now, who is one of the up-and-coming stars of professional bull riding and happens to be from Smithville, Missouri, which is over near Kansas City. Colton, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great having you on here, young man. And, you know, I'll tell people, we looked up your bio here a little while ago. You are, 20 years old?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this growing up in Smithville and what brought you to where you are now.
My dad rode bulls in Bronx professionally for 11 or 12 years. And my mom grew up rodeoing when she was in school and high school, and she professionally rodeoed for a few years, and then I came into the world, and I just grew up in that lifestyle. Mom and dad, that's just all they ever knew, and that's all I ever knew, and that's all I ever wanted to do.
So how old were you, Colton? How old were you the first time you got on any kind of animal?
My first sheep I ever got on, I was 3 going on 4.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I've been riding horses and stuff before I could ever walk.
That's
fantastic.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, so now tell us exactly where Smithville is for people that aren't familiar with it.
If you're in Kansas City, go north of there about 35, 40 minutes.
Okay.
I'm actually closer to St. Joe than I am Kansas City. But the closest way for me to explain it for everybody is I'm about 10 minutes from MCI Airport. Or as much so as Kansas City Airport.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that, I'm sure that this happens around a little more often than I think here over in the St. Louis side, but I'm just not tuned into it, I'm guessing. So is our local rodeos and everything a much bigger deal out there?
I don't necessarily know how to answer that question. You know, they used to have the bull riding in Kansas City, and now, you know, PBR has a team series. When the teams was in Kansas City, it was a huge thing over in Kansas City when the PBR came to town, and the crowd was so strong. And I've been to St. Louis twice now riding in the PBR, and St. Louis was, if not equivalent to Kansas City. So especially for a Missouri bull rider, they get pretty loud and rowdy for us. So it's pretty exciting.
We're rooting you on, man. That's what we're doing. Let me just put some street cred out there for you from your resume. Missouri High School Rodeo Bull Riding Champion of 2018. And Colton, who earned a full scholarship to compete for the Odessa College Rodeo Team, made his PBR debut just in February of last year. In commanding form, going a perfect 3-for-3 to win the Velocity Tour event in Youngstown, Ohio. You know, it was years ago that I heard the statement that rodeo is the most spectated sport on the planet. Does that still hold true to you, do you think?
I completely agree with that. People show up to watch people do something that not an average
that's
human
crazy
would do.
Yeah.
The best way I can explain rodeo is, or bull riding in general, is controlling an out of control situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I mean, honestly, so maybe because obviously you've been doing this for a long time. You won the high school rodeo bull riding championship in 2018. Can you think back to your very first time having to sit on a angry bull and ride it out of a chute and what that was like?
My first ever big bull, because I grew up, you know, riding sheep and calves and stuff. My first ever big bull, I will admit I was a little nervous, you know. I was 12 getting on my first big bull, and that bull having a resume, he's older, but had a resume in the PBR, and it made me nervous, you know.
Yeah.
That's the bulls you always wanted to get on, and you're thinking through your head all the things that could possibly go wrong at that time, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's like a zone you go into when you get on the back of a bull's back. You're kind of, it's like it all just disappears and goes away. So all the nerves and scared, whatever you want to call it, beforehand, this all disappears and you forget about it all.
Well, Colton is going to be at the PBR Unleash the Beast event in St. Louis early December. Get your tickets while you can. Just before we got you on the Missouri Brush Control guest line here, Colton, I got to tell you, Mark said, he's a smaller stature guy. Have you ever rode bulls? And I'm like, I'm too big. It's a physics thing, isn't it?
It's not necessarily a physics thing. Being a smaller guy definitely helps in bull riding, but the best thing I can tell you is it's not just strength, it's not just balance, it's everything combined into one. You can take balance, strength, your mental side of it, everything that you could possibly think of with human instinct.
Who's the biggest bull rider you know as far as height goes?
The tallest bull rider I've ever known would probably have been 6'3", 6'4".
Okay.
Whoa, okay. I'm wrong.
There's some people that ride bulls that are, if not bigger, like taller-wise or weight-wise, but myself, I'm not a very big guy.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, you got more guts than most of us, young man. I've watched this. I was in Montana this summer watching a local rodeo up there. They got guys climbing on bulls there that are probably just weekenders, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what you do Monday through Friday, but if one of those bulls steps on you, that's over with.
Yeah, there's guys that just do it on the weekends. I don't like to pick on people, you know, per se, because, you know, the minute you go to start saying something about somebody, they prove you wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's some people that work in 9 to 5 during Monday through Friday and decide to go play cowboy on the weekends, and it don't work out so well.
Well, you know what, Colton, you bring up a really good point. People playing cowboy. So the advent of Yellowstone and the 4.6s and all these shows, the one thing I love about the PBR bull riders is that you guys will meet any fan that wants to meet you. You guys have different events leading up to the actual.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and Carl Middleman had to fill me in on what that song was.
Bulls on Parade.
By
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, okay, all right, sorry about that. Not caught up on my music from 20 years ago. But so sorry about that. Hey, glad you're with us, though. Speaking of bulls, man alive, I've been to several rodeos. I've been to the professional bull riding down at Enterprise before, and that is a sport that I just could not imagine doing myself. How about you, Bo Matthews?
I'm too big. Well, I'm too big for a bull ride, and I know that. I'm too top heavy.
The bull might appreciate it if you didn't climb on its back, Bo.
Yeah,
ain't that the truth? I'm just saying. But we do have Missouri's own Colton Hevelow on the phone right now, who is one of the up-and-coming stars of professional bull riding and happens to be from Smithville, Missouri, which is over near Kansas City. Colton, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great having you on here, young man. And you know, I'll tell people we looked up your bio here a little while ago. You are what, 20 years old?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this, growing up in Smithville, and what brought you to where you are now.
My dad rode bulls and broncs professionally for 11 or 12 years, and my mom grew up rodeoing when she was in school and high school, and she professionally rodeoed for a few years, and then I came into the world, and I just grew up in that lifestyle. Mom and dad, that's just all they ever knew, and that's all I ever knew, and that's all I ever wanted to do.
So how old were you, Colton? How old were you the first time you got on any kind of animal?
My first sheep I ever got on, I was 3 going on 4.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I've been riding horses and stuff before I could ever walk.
That's
fantastic.
It really is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, so now tell us exactly where Smithville is for people that aren't familiar with it.
If you're in Kansas City, go north of there about 35, 40 minutes.
Okay.
I'm actually closer to St. Joe than I am Kansas City. But the closest way for me to explain it for everybody is I'm about 10 minutes from MCI Airport, or as much so as Kansas City Airport.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that, I'm sure that this happens around a little more often than I think here over in the St. Louis side, but I'm just not tuned into it, I'm guessing. So is our local rodeos and everything a much bigger deal out there?
I don't necessarily know how to answer that question. You know, they used to have the bull riding in Kansas City, and now, you know, PBR has a team series. When the teams was in Kansas City, it was a huge thing over in Kansas City when the PBR came to town, and the crowd was so strong. And I've been to St. Louis twice now riding in the PBR, and St. Louis was, if not equivalent to Kansas City. So, especially for a Missouri bull rider, they get pretty loud and rowdy for us. So, it's pretty exciting.
We're rooting you on, man. That's what we're doing. Let me just put some street cred out there for you from your resume. Missouri High School Rodeo Bull Riding Champion of 2018. And Colton, who earned a full scholarship to compete for the Odessa College Rodeo Team, made his PBR debut just in February of last year, in commanding form, going a perfect 3-for-3 to win the Velocity Tour event in Youngstown, Ohio. You know, it was years ago that I heard the statement that rodeo is the most spectated sport on the planet. Does that still hold true to you, do you think?
I completely agree with that. People show up to watch people do something that not an average
that's
human
crazy
being would do.
Yeah.
The best way I can explain rodeo is, or bull riding in general, is controlling an out of control situation.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. I mean, honestly, you know, so maybe because obviously you've been doing this for a long time. You won the high school rodeo bull riding championship in 2018. Can you think back to the first, your very first time having to sit on a angry bull and ride it out of a chute and what that was like?
My first ever big bull, because I grew up, you know, riding sheep and calves and stuff. My first ever big bull, I will admit I was a little nervous, you know. I was 12 getting on my first big bull, and that bull having a resume. He's older, but had a resume in the PBR, and it made me nervous, you know. Yeah. That's the bulls you always wanted to get on, and you're thinking through your head all the things that could possibly go wrong at that time, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, there's like a zone you go into when you get on the back of a bull's back. You're kind of, it's like it all just disappears and goes away. So all the nerves, well, and scared, whatever you want to call it, beforehand, this all disappears and you forget about it all.
Well, Colton is going to be at the PBR Unleash the Beast event in St. Louis early December. Get your tickets while you can. Just before we got you on the Missouri Brush Control guest line here, Colton, I got to tell you, Mark said, you know, he's a smaller stature guy. Have you ever rode bulls? And I'm like, I'm too big. It's a physics thing, isn't it?
It's not necessarily a physics thing. Being a smaller guy definitely helps in bull riding, but the best thing I can tell you is it's not just strength, it's not just balance, it's everything combined into one. You can take balance, strength, your mental side of it, everything that you could possibly think of with human instinct.
Who's the biggest bull rider you know, as far as height goes?
The tallest bull rider I've ever known would probably have been 6'3", 6'4".
Okay.
Whoa, okay. I'm wrong.
There's some people that that ride bulls that are, if not bigger, like taller wise or weight wise, but myself, I'm not a very big guy.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, you got more guts than most of us, young man. I've watched this. I was in Montana this summer watching a local rodeo up there. They got guys climbing on bulls there that are probably just weekenders, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what you do Monday through Friday, but if one of those bulls steps on you, that's over with.
Yeah, there's guys that just do it on the weekends. I don't like to pick on people, you know, per se, because, you know, the minute you go to start saying something about somebody, they prove you wrong.
That's right.
But there's some people that work in 9 to 5 during Monday through Friday and decide to go play cowboy on the weekends, and it don't work out so well.
Well, you know what, Colton, you bring up a really good point. People playing cowboy. So the advent of Yellowstone and the 4.6s and all these shows, the one thing I love about the PBR bull riders is that you guys will meet any fan that wants to meet you. You guys have different events leading up to the actual event, but you guys are so open. You're so willing to get pictures with people. Do you feel that some of those, I don't know what you want to call them, drugstore cowboys, you know, the Yellowstone fans, do you think that is filling in the seats too, the excitement, all that?
Oh, most definitely, you know. we go to town and go to buy a cowboy hat or something, and the price goes up more. Oh, man. But, you know, at the same time, like when I was in high school going, I couldn't go to PBR because I wasn't 18. I was younger than that. I could only go to amateur rodeos and stuff that my parents would let me go to, or that they had let me enter. And we, you know, you took a guy that wasn't very serious, and you took a guy like myself that was. My dad always told me that's what you call added money. So the guys that show up on the weekends, they filled my pockets more than anything.
There you go.
That's just one more entry fee there, son.
It's like a seat filler.
That's a beautiful way to look at that. So we're talking here to Colton Havelo. He's going to be here in St. Louis December 2nd and 3rd at the Enterprise Center. Our own Carl Middleton is going to be running the lights. Is that right, Carl?
The LEDs. I'll have Colton's name up in lights.
Oh, nice. Nice. That must be a good feeling to walk into a big arena like that, Colton. And is that like a dream come true for you?
It's a big dream come true. It's where I've always wanted to be since I was super little. And now that you're at the highest level of bull riding, there ain't no other place I'd rather be.
That's great.
And you know what, Colton? You're a young guy, but even before your time, there was a shift in the bull riding business or the rodeo business where they really made it into more like a wrestling WWE kind of event.
Yeah.
And the loud rock and roll music and the pyrotechnics. You do all that stuff. Do you think those pyrotechnics fire up those bulls even more?
Actually, believe it or not, sometimes I feel like they do, and other times I feel like it scares them. I've seen some bulls where they just freak out. They don't know what to do.
Wow.
And it's right. Like they just go in the freeze mode. Some of them other bulls have been around a while, or they simply just don't care. They're there to do a job and buck us off, and, you know, they're like a human. They all got their different feelings in a heartbeat, so they can definitely think differently and feel differently toward anything.
So Colton, it's called Unleash the Beast. What's the average weight of these beasts that you're crawling on again?
They're from 1,500 pounds to 2,000 pounds, if not bigger.
Wow. Well, I got a lot of respect for you there, young man. I'll just have to tell you that.
Thank you.
And Colton, you're in the running for the world championship. Is that a reality for this year?
That is a reality for this year. It's been a reality every year for every single guy on the Unleashed.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we're going to try and get those Yellowstone fans and those 1923 and 1883 fans out there for you. Because if you've never been to a PBR, Unleash the Beast is the best way to do it. So good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yep, Colton, pleasure having you on. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Missouri's own Colton Havelo there trying to win the championship. How about that? At the young age of 20. That is a
amazing.
Brave young man.
Yep.
He even said that there aren't many people willing to do what I do.
Have you ever ridden a mechanical bull? Have you ever done that?
Years ago, when I was lighter and a much younger man, I worked in an amusement park and they had one there. And after hours, people could pay to do it during the business day, and then after hours, we'd just go back and spend a couple hours trying
what
to ride this
setting
thing.
Did you put it on?
I have no hurricane or something. They had different settings like hurricane or thunderstorm or something like that. And I just remember being thrown off every time. So that's what I have my memory of it.
It's still a thing, though. It's still a thing. You can go down to the PBR down at Ballpark Village and still ride them things. Oof.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Fun. Okay. That's going to do it for us. Again, December 2nd and 3rd over at Enterprise if you want to get tickets to the PBR.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And speaking of tickets for your big fundraiser, this is the big push right now because you're going to be doing the drawing on Wednesday.
I appreciate that. If you want to get in on the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms Raffle for Responder Rescue, all the money goes to Responder Rescue. Text the word Responder to 33100. That's Responder to 33100. You can buy your tickets there. I will be picking a winner on November 22nd at 2:30 in the afternoon live on my Facebook page.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. See you, boys.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.